No. There's no movement, and it's not going to move back. You know, there's really no reason to ask anymore. Enough times passed that we won't have any roster changes moving forward.
Bill Self, no shocker here. Bill Self with Gerald Vick. The marriage is over. It's been over for a while. And I think it's very clear without Bill Self saying it, and we've known this for quite some time, that Bill Self reluctantly took LeGerald Vick back due to the begging of his mom, Lala, and LeGerald, because he really had nowhere to go because nobody wanted him in the NBA, not even the G League, developmental league. And so he decided he wanted to come back. They'd given his jersey away. Bill Self was done with the headaches of LeGerald Vick. And then once it was brought up to him, he thought, you know, we don't have any seniors on this team. He'd have some experience. I'm willing to put up with him, but he's going to have to walk the straight and the narrow. And LeGerald did early on, but then didn't down the stretch. And it all came to a head in Manhattan. And Bill Self said, that's it, I'm done. And I think we've all thought for quite some time this was just a cover-up story to not make LeGerald look bad, the kid not look bad. And I think this was all, for the most part, I think this was all set up when they agreed to take him back. They're like, listen, this there's conditions to you coming back to play for me. And if you don't meet those conditions, we're going to cut bait. And we will do it in a nice way so we don't throw you under the bus. And guess what? That's what happened. So no LeGerald Vick coming back to KU. Nobody is surprised at all by that. I never bought at all. Never bought at all that LeGerald Vick was ever going to come back to Kansas. And honestly, Kansas is better, probably without the distractions and the attitude and everything else. And I'm not saying LeGerald Vick is a horrible person, but he has had issues with Bill Self and butted heads with him over his whole career. And the fact that they gave away his jersey to Charlie Moore, they were ready to move on. They were done with LeGerald Vick. And then Bill decided, well, maybe it's worth the risk. Maybe it's worth it. It was early on. Eventually it became not worth the time and the aggravation, the headaches, and Bill said, all right, you're out of here. I truly believe that's what happened. I have people that I know that are basically telling me the same thing. So I can, you know, it's not hard to connect the dots and put the puzzle together. I mean, he's leaving for a family thing for a couple of weeks. Well, it's been well over a couple of weeks. Why isn't he back on the team? Because they don't want him back.
Exactly.
It's simple. It's simple. And so, LeGerald Vick, we'll see if he has a future basketball career. I don't know. Doesn't look too good. And it's unfortunate because, man, he was red hot early in the year. All right. Lots to get to here. Let's start with the big local story that Dusty broke yesterday here on KD Country 94 and KDCountry94.com. Also, you can read about NCKSSports.com as Keith Gracine has been relieved of his duties. Tell us more, Dusty.
Yes, this is effective immediately. So he's been relieved of all his head coaching duties at St. John's Catholic High School in Beloit. He coached football, girls basketball, and track and field for multiple seasons, as many people know, with the Blue Jays. For football and girls basketball, it's just a simple non-renewal of a contract because he's not under contract. It's one-year deals each time they renew those. So that simple non-renewal for those two sports. And then for girls track and field this season, he has been compensated. But he will not coach or be renewed for that position. So sources are telling us that he was asked to resign by the St. John's administration, but he elected not to step aside. So no specific reasons at this point have been given for the decision from St. John's administration, but they did release a statement that said, quote, on behalf of St. John's and Tipton High Schools, we thank Keith Gracine for his years of service and dedication to support our student athletes. We wish Keith much success in his future endeavors. End quote. We've also reached out to Gracine, and he has declined to comment at this time. So, again, he spent the past 12 seasons as a girls basketball coach, the past nine as the football coach, the previous 3 years as a track and field coach, and obviously he's had a lot of success. He went 218-63 in the 12 years in girls basketball, and then in nine seasons as with the cooperative with Tipton, they went to state four times, including that state championship back in 2015. Went 19-3 this past season, and then he went 51-36 in the nine seasons as he coached the football team, including a 11-1 2013 sub-state runner-up finish that was kind of the high point of that time. And five times the last nine seasons, they've made the eight-man Division II playoffs under Coach Christine. They did make it this year. They went 5-4 this past season and made the playoffs. And so this right now is was the 21st year that Coach Christine's been in the area coaching football overall. Had a little bit of break, obviously, in between Wakanda East and St. John's Tipton. But obviously, he's been around for quite some time not renewed for football and girls basketball, and like I said, compensated but not renewed for the this season or anything after that for girls track and field as well. So, again, Keith Christine no longer coaching at St. John's Catholic High School Boy.
Well, we were just talking about this yesterday on our show, ironically, about coaches and how some get forced out and coaches aren't appreciated and so forth and so on. We don't know every specific detail, and more than likely the school will not give us that. That's what typically happens with any kind of things like this, which is, you know, I get it from a standpoint that, well, you know, if we give out a reason, then people will try to slice it to death. And I get that part. But at the same time, there are many, many people that are upset with this decision. And there are many, many, many former athletes that have played for Coach Christine and have voiced their support on social media. I mean, my whole Twitter feed was full. And I'm sure yours was as
crazy.
Well.
I mean,
there was none saying, well, good riddance. Thank God he's gone. Not a single one.
Yeah.
It was all in support of Coach Christine. So I think this is a similar situation as we've seen before, where there is a minority that has forced out somebody. Maybe there are good reasons for it, and we don't know what they are, but we will never be given those reasons.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. How can we possibly paint a full picture and present both sides of the story when one side won't give us the story?
Yeah.
And I understand where St. John's is at. I get it. They release a statement, and it's, you know, based on the statement, you're like, why didn't they just give him a contract extension? I mean, it sounds great. So it seems
exactly.
A little odd how chippy cheery it is.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, and we've seen this with other coaches that have left not under their own volition, the school board or whatever the case may be, has decided to move on, and there's a movement by a person or two that starts to get a few more people behind them, and they get enough of momentum to force a coach out. And I'm not saying that's what happened here. I don't know for sure what happened here. But we've seen it over all the years that we have done this in our business. And then the people are really upset that support that coach. Then they want answers, and they never get them. They might speculate, might have an idea. Later on, a little nugget may leak out from a board member about something, but you never truly know the reasons. And that's the thing. You know, I one time years ago, I had a school say, well, you didn't present both sides of the story. I said, I asked you to comment, and you said no comment. That was your chance. How can I present your side of the story if you're not going to give it to me?
Yeah.
As simple as that. Here's take that call. So it's impossible to present both sides of the story in full detail if we don't get all the information in regards to understanding both sides of the story. But at the same time, I'm sure there's legalities to things in regards to letting someone go or terminating a contract. So listen, I get it. I mean, I do. I understand the schools in these situations not wanting to give any specific reasoning. I believe they don't have to. I know we had one a few years back where I know a lot of people were upset, and it was no reason for it. Or there was no reason given for it, I should say. There were reasons, but there was nothing publicly given out or a statement from the school. In fact, it was kind of hush-hush to where it was almost like nobody wanted to let the public know that the coach was going to be gone, which seemed a little bit weird. But guess what? Word gets out. Eventually, you'll have it. And so it's, listen, this is, listen, I can tell you right now, and I know I speak for Dusty, and he could go even further, but he had to take a phone call on line one, is that Keith Christine, we have had a terrific relationship with him as a coach.
He's recording over there.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we've had a terrific relationship with Coach Christine. He's been nothing but cooperative with us. We have had no problems with Coach Christine, other than sometimes we try to get a hold of him. He's hard to get a hold of because He's not a guy that carries a cell phone. And right now he's probably glad he doesn't carry a cell phone on his hip. So, listen, Keith has been terrific with us. And I've always tried to tell people, don't judge a person based off what other people tell you about them until you meet the person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you've never met Coach Crisine and somebody says, well, Coach Crisine, he's just not a good person. Don't go around telling everybody he's not a good person if you've never met him. And likewise, if you think he's an unbelievable great person and you tell somebody, well, he's a great, unbelievable person, you may actually meet him and think he's not as good as people think he is. I don't know. But my point of the story is he has been great with us. And that's how we know Coach Crisine. And we've dealt with many coaches over the years that have had to leave a little bit earlier than they wanted to. Sometimes it's a mutual thing. Sometimes it's voluntary. And then there's times where it's forced. And in this case, it certainly sounds like it because he was given an opportunity to resign. He chose not to. So then they said, okay, we don't want you anymore. Isn't that the basic way to break that down?
Oh, that's
I don't know how you can make it
more. Break it down. You know,
he wanted to keep coaching.
Yeah.
He did not resign. And they decided to not keep him around as a coach.
And that's, I mean, that's confirmed
for their
from
reasons.
Both sides for me.
Yes.
You know, I mean, that's clearly what they wanted to happen and what he didn't want to happen.
Sure.
So he declined to do that. And, you know, that's his prerogative. You know, that's if he wants to go out this way, then that's the way he's going to go out. And he doesn't strike me as a guy that's going to let a whole lot of people tell him what to do. In my experiences with Keith.
Right.
Maybe in the end that could have been his downfall. Who knows?
Right.
But you know, it's as far as this situation. But yeah, I want to echo what you were saying. I mean, I've known Keith since I moved here, since I first got here in 2003, and in the 16 years that I've been around Keith, I've had probably one of the best, if not the best, relationship I've ever had with a coach in this area, and that was when he started as an assistant. For Coach Christians there at St. John's in football is when I really started to get to know him and meet him, because I came the year after Wakanda East closed, and that was the end of that run for him. And so, but yeah, I mean, my broad statement about Coach Crisine, and I'm taking off my reporter hat, and since we're on the show where I can voice a little bit of an opinion here, is that I have not seen... You're talking about if you look at him and don't really know him and say he's not a good guy, and you just see the way sometimes he's a little bit louder when he's coaching and things like that. If you actually understand who he is and get to know him, for me personally, again, this is me, might not be some other people, but I've never seen a coach that cares as much about his kids than Keith Crisine. And the success in coaching those kids and getting them and turning them into better people, better players, whatever he wants. But that's personal for me. You know, maybe some parents that have had Keith as a coach have had different experiences than what I see, because I'm not at practice every day. But as a coach...
And neither are those parents, by the way.
And I've had... Listen, I've had family members that have been coached by Keith Crisine that are furious right now, that are upset. And I take their word as something that I can believe in, that I agree with them, because I don't think they would sit in here... tell me lies as my family. And so, but that's personal for me. And I just wanted to get that out there because that's the way I feel about him. But, you know, I don't have all the information either.
Right.
So I'm not going to sit here and say one way or the other that this was the complete 100% wrong decision or right decision. Well, I'm just saying my experiences that I know with Coach Crisine, and it's obviously going to be tough for him and everybody involved with everything that's going on right now.
This is the concern I have, and I've seen this at many other institutions over the last 25 years since I've covered sports when I was a senior in high school. And this is a cycle, and hopefully it does not happen at St. John's, but I can tell you it happens a lot when these things happen. Whether or not, as you said, whether or not the school was in the right to do what they've done, or if the school was in the wrong, okay? Or coach was in the wrong, okay? But here's what happens. You lose all stability. You lose all stability. Your programs change. It's a revolving door of coaches. I mean, it's not easy to... I mean, how many coaches are available out there willing to coach three sports? I mean, there's not too many. I mean, it. You know why a guy has to coach three sports? Because nobody else wants to do it.
And that's, you know, track
and field. So you got to replace not only a football coach, you got to replace a basketball coach and a track and field coach. Now, will he be replaced in all three phases? Absolutely. But the question is, will those coaches have the success that Keith Corsine had, or will they be as good of a coach and care about the kids as much as Keith Corsine did? Or will they be better? Will they not be as loud? Will they be different? Well, but the point I'm trying to make is, okay, how many head coaches? How many years was he head coach at St. John's? 12?
12 girls, 12 basketball, 9 football, and 3 track.
So over the next 10 years, how many basketball and football coaches will St. John's have?
Yeah.
And we don't know.
Yeah.
It might be they get the perfect person to coach basketball and football, and that person coaches for 25 years in a row. But based on the experiences, and we talked about yesterday with coaches, some not even wanting to coach anymore because of the way some things go down, all right, as we know, your odds of having a guy to take over the basketball and football program and staying there for the next 9 years, whether it's at St. John's or any school, I'm not saying not St. John's, it's just that this is the story.
Yeah.
In any school, your chances of finding somebody to do both jobs for 9 years in a row and be that successful are slim to none.
Yeah. And
this is a thing I hate. I hate to see next year you have a coach and that person gets forced out.
Yeah.
Or that coach decides, I don't want to do this. Or there's too much pressure because you're following a coach that likes success. Or that coach goes for another opportunity. And then you get a Rule 10 coach here and there on everything that happens sometimes. And then that's not good. I mean, I saw a Hanover girls basketball program. 5 years, had 5 different coaches. Now they're winning state championships. You know why? Because they have stability.
Yeah. Exactly.
They have stability. They have a coach, and they're building a program, and they finished state runoff this year and won 2 straight championships. They've always had talent, but the school board would always blow out the coach, or the coach couldn't put up with it or didn't want to deal with it, and there was pressure, and so they had 5 coaches in 5 years. I hope that does not happen at St. John's. I hope you do not have a revolving door of coaches for track and field, football, and basketball. But when it's not only that you lose a coach, you're losing a coach for 3 sports.
Yeah.
At a small school.
Yeah.
That is hard to replace. But I would hope the school has a plan to replace him in all 3 sports. And if they do and they find the right people, then maybe everything will be just fine. But this is from a standpoint of filling a position with somebody as successful as Keith has been, this is a risk. Now, maybe the school sits there and goes, listen, it's not all about winning. It's about there's other things you guys don't know about that you're talking about on the radio. We have our reasons for letting Coach Corsine go. They're not going to tell us that, which I understand because probably various legal reasons or whatever else. And so we'll never know, which makes it really hard for us to present both sides of the story because we always try to present both sides of the story. But we can only go off the information that's provided to us. And sometimes schools let go of a coach and they just say, you know what, we'll weather the storm. It might be really turbulent for a while. And then eventually everybody will move on and they'll get over it. And that's usually the way schools handle these things. They say, here's a statement. It's a simple thank you statement. And there's no reasons given. And then you basically wait a year or two and everything blows over and you're like, okay, we got through that.
Yeah.
Yep. And I'm not going to say that's the wrong way to handle it from a school perspective because, you know, if you give some kind of reason and somebody can blow a hole in your reasoning, then it looks maybe even worse. But for some people, and I guarantee you people are supporters of Keith Corsine today are asking me, I've got 5 coaches, count them 5, that texted me last night in high school coaching ranks in various sports asking me what happened.
Oh, I can't even count.
I got people in Northeast Kansas asking me.
And Twitter messages that I've gotten. Mm-hmm. What happened?
Everybody wants to know what happened. Why? Why now? And why is he gone?
Yeah.
And the only people that answer that question is St. John's.
Yeah.
And they will not answer that question. And I'm not saying they should or they shouldn't.
Yeah, we're just presenting.
I wish they would.
Yeah, I mean,
we always wish they would.
Yeah.
But they're not going to. And I understand why they won't, because of various things today in society.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Yeah. And I do want to say, like, overall, he has been there for the last 16 years because he coached junior high football for a long time and was doing both for a while. So,
right.
You know, you talk about how long has he been at St. John's. Well, he's actually been at St. John's ever since 2003, so in some capacity. So, but, yeah, it's like who's going to replace
all three of those is now where you go, and obviously we'll continue to follow that part of it too, and if anything new comes up, we try to let you know all that and give you the latest updates that we can, as long as we know about them. So, but yeah, it blew up after it came out, and a lot of people were wondering, with me too, like, well, what happened, why now, and all this. And I said, I'm not the one that can answer that specifically for you. I don't have the 100% answers, because, like you said, the school's the only one that knows.
Here's the other thing. We've reached out to the school council.
Yes.
Okay, it's not a school board, and we need to make this very clear. St. John's is a private school.
Yes.
It is different than how Beloit handles things, or Osborne, or whatever, Smith Center, as a public school district, okay? It's a lot different. The school board at Beloit has to approve supplemental contracts, and then they may not offer somebody, so that's a way of basically saying you're not back. You're not. We didn't technically fire them,
yeah,
but we didn't renew them, or we didn't offer them as a contract. We didn't put them on a list of coaches. It's kind of a, I don't know. I got my comments and my opinions of that I can't say on air, but it's weak. I'll just call it that. It's weak. You know, just come out and say it. You fired the coach. All right? Just come out and say it. You let him go. You terminated the contract. Well, we didn't terminate the contract. We didn't renew him. You didn't hire him back. Thus, basically, they're fired. I mean, come on. Let's be honest. But whatever. You can use semantics and change the wording all you want and massage it. And that was what was happened back when I was in high school. Well, we didn't fire Mr. Griffith. You didn't hire him back. Well, he was up for contract renewal. We chose not to renew his contract. You let him go. I consider that fired. He wanted to come back. He did a good job. You decided you want to let him go. You didn't let him come back. So thus, that was your decision. But the school board has to approve those things. In a private school situation, there's a council. It's not called the school board. It's called a council. All right? And from things that I understand is that the council doesn't necessarily make these decisions. It comes from various people within the school and... you can't say district, I guess, but whatever else. It's not necessarily a council decision. The council doesn't have to approve or disapprove of something like this, from what I've been told. All right? So it is a little bit different. Now, we've reached out to the president of the council, correct?
Yes.
And
not much anything different than what I've gotten from everybody else.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So it is a little bit different. And the other thing that's weird about this situation is the timing.
Yeah.
It's in the middle of the season. Usually you see these things where, okay, the whole sports season is over, and in the off season or whatever, during the summer, you make these decisions. It's not typically that you do it here right before track and field season, which Keith was going to be a coach of. That is a little bit unusual as well, which makes people wonder, well, was there something big that happened that we don't know about and that we probably won't know about? And I can't answer the question. I can't. The other thing you need to understand... And with private school, too, and this, and listen, this is the part that I think people are going to really relate to a little bit here, and that is, we talk about all the time at Kansas State, we've talked about it. People wanted Bruce Weber out, right?
Yeah.
All right? People wanted Bill Snyder out, and we talked about, well, the only way you're really going to get Bill Snyder out is if you can convince the big benefactors of Kansas State University, the boosters, you can convince them that, all right, it's time for Bill to go, then you've got a good chance to push Bill out, right?
Yes.
Okay. How are private schools funded?
By donors.
By donors.
Yeah.
Public schools are public schools is tax money.
That's not how you're funded. Donors, by actually, they've got the auction coming up this weekend. Mm-hmm. That's a big thing that mm-hmm. funds it, and that's all donation.
Right.
It's giving money.
So here's a big difference between public and private. Public is obviously got taxpayer money, all right? Beloit, Osborne, Smith Center, Lakeside, all these school districts, they rely on what? Legislators in regards to the school funding, right? We've talked about that for a while. Well, there's been a cut in school funding. That really hurts the public schools. The private schools aren't affected by that. Not directly, because they are raising their own money, right?
Yeah.
To keep their school open. And they recruit to get more kids, trust me. They recruit to get kids to come to their school to boost their enrollment, which makes sense. There's nothing illegal about it. They're trying to bring kids to keep their school open. Makes total sense. But here's a difference between public and private. Private, if you have the wrong, just like Kansas State University or KU University or Oklahoma or Nebraska, if you have a big donor or donors of your college, like we talk about the Veneers at Kansas State or David Booth at KU, and you're a coach and you rub that person or persons the wrong way, guess what? You could be in trouble.
Yeah.
And it applies to private schools. I dealt with private schools when I was in Southeast Kansas. So that's a different part of this scenario as well, is that many people get caught up in, well, the person upset the wrong board member, which that's typically happens with a public school. And it could be that you could upset a council member with a private school. That's very possible. It's also that you could upset the wrong person in power or in charge, and that's all it takes. Or it could be that everybody's cool with you, but there's a couple people that help really keep the doors open for your school, and those people aren't very happy. And thus, guess what happens? Well, how can we, if they're going to quit donating to our school because they say it's ultimative, this coach has to go or I'm not going to donate to the school anymore, and that particular donor or donors spends a lot of money to help that school, what are you left to do? What decision would you make? The coach is collateral damage.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying that's what happened here.
Yeah.
Let me make this very clear. I'm not saying that's what happened here, but it needs to be pointed out. There's a distinction between public and private, and that's what makes this story a little bit different than the story we've had in past years with a public school board basically not renewing a coach's contract. Would you agree with that? Am I accurate in those things?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's definitely differences, and you covered them there. And well, listen, I've covered kind of another coaching story in the past that at this same school that's been, you know, a similar deal. Like, you don't really know where it comes from, but, you know, there's just different regulations at private schools than public schools. Or not regulations, I guess, just different ways of running things and doing these kind of things and running your operations. I mean, it's totally different. Everything's different about it. I mean, from top to bottom, there's so many differences.
Oh, absolutely.
From a public and private school, and this is just one of them.
There was confusion. Somebody was saying the diocese made this decision, which I don't think that's the case.
And the diocese does not, I guess, stick their nose into stuff like this.
In the end,
they oversee all the schools that are the private Catholic schools that are in their diocese. They oversee them in the end. But they typically let those schools make those kind of decisions and don't really get too involved in that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, we got Riley to get to, and then we got a lot of other things we want to cover. The show's going to go long today. I'm just going to warn people because we have a lot to cover, and this is certainly the topic. I have been inundated with texts and emails, as I'm sure you have as well. There have been some really nice tributes from people with pictures with Coach Gossin. It's not like he's died, okay? He's still alive, and he's kicking. But he wanted to keep coaching. And he was given the option to resign. According to our sources, he chose not to. And the school decided to, they terminated the track and field thing, compensated for him for that. So he's not coaching track or field. And he has not been renewed to be a football coach or the girls' basketball coach. The whole story is there for you to read at katycountry94.com. And you can make your own assumptions and speculate all you want. We're just giving you, on the sportscast, we're giving you the actual information we have in regards to the sports ticket. We're just trying to present how this is a little bit different versus a public situation, a public school. There are some differences that I think we're accurate in what we said and all that. And if we're not, somebody can let us know. We'll be happy to correct ourselves. But as to knowing exactly the reasoning why he's been relieved of his coaching duties, that's the number one question everyone wants to know.
Mm-hmm.
Why now? And what did Coach Gossin do to not be able to coach anymore with St. John's? And we have not received an answer to that question in regard. That question's been asked, trust me, but no answer has been provided, and I don't think there ever will be one.
No.
And that makes it frustrating for supporters of Coach Gossin. Like, well, what did he do? Or did he do anything wrong? We don't know what he did. And did he yell too loud? That's what it was? Because he's done that for years. I mean, why now is the next question. I mean, that's the first question. Why and why now?
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, the school more than likely isn't going to give you those answers. And they might have really good reasoning, and they might have great answers to these questions. But because legal counsel tells them not to say anything, or whatever else, or maybe the school just decides, listen, this is our stance, it's our business, and we're going to keep it in-house. And they have the prerogative and the right to do that.
Exactly.
Even though that may frustrate lots of people. But I do not want somebody to come back and say, well, you didn't provide both sides of the story. We tried. If one side is not willing to give us more than just a statement, yes, which that's fine. We're happy to take the statement and put it in the story. But if that's all that the school's going to provide us, like it has, and by the way, St. John's is no different than any other school we've dealt with over the years.
No.
This is typical. The school sends out a statement, and that's all they give you. And then they don't want to say anything more about it. And I'm more than likely, nobody's going to say anything more about this either. And that's it. But if somebody wants to come back and say, well, you didn't provide the whole, you didn't provide both sides of the story. You can't get two sides of a story if one isn't going to give you all the nitty gritty.
Yes.
And that's the way the schools go about it, because they don't want to deal with any repercussions or say something in the wrong way. Usually these statements have to be approved by legal people, usually, or looked at by a lawyer, typically, to make sure they say all the right things so nothing come back on them. That's just the way society is nowadays.
Yes.
Which it makes it frustrating for the supporters of Keith Cousine.
It does. It
really does. All right, we continue. As we said, we have many things to get to. We went through the Big 12 tournament bracket. The new top 25 basketball poll has been released. And in case you're wondering about that basketball poll, as it will eventually come up here, I've got lots of tabs open and my computer is not working very quickly. But Gonzaga is the number one team in America. K-State is at 15 now. And Kansas is ranked 17th. So those are the latest rankings for the top 25. But Gonzaga is your number one there. We go Virginia's 2, North Carolina 3, Kentucky 4, Duke 5, Michigan State 6, Tech is now 7, Tennessee 8, LSU 9, Michigan is 10. K-State is, as I said, 15. KU is 17. And no other Big 12 team is in the top 25. So the Big 12 has three teams, Tech, K-State, and KU in the top 25. The K-State women, they lost, was that the semifinals, wasn't it, where they lost to Baylor?
Yes.
Big 12 tournament?
Yep.
Okay, so Kansas State women, they'll wait. They should be in the NCAA tournament. They'll wait for the seeding, the selection show, and they should be in after having a fantastic season in the Big 12, probably overachieved according to many predictors before the season began. Fort Hays State women, they are 30-1, and they'll host their regional tournament. In the national regional tournament, it'll be hosted by Fort Hays State. They're 30-1 and get to play Pittsburgh State, which is scary when you face the same team again and again. They just barely beat Pittsburgh State recently. Central Missouri against Lindenwood. North Emporia State takes on Southwestern Oklahoma State. So the MIAA has, I think, five teams that made it to the national tournament here through the Central Regional Tournament quarterfinal matchups, which will be hosted by Fort Hays State University. The Tigers, 30-1, the number one seed, and they host at Gross Memorial Coliseum. Back to Big 12 women's basketball. Baylor won the Big 12 title last night over Iowa State, 67-49. All right, we end with this. Lots of Chief news. The Chiefs, Mitch Morse, he is signing with the Buffalo Bills. He is a free agent, and he's going to be the highest paid center in all of the National Football League, as he is going to be paid $44.5 million over 4 years with $26.5 million in guaranteed money. He signs with the Bills. Average value of the contract, $11.125 million a year, which makes him the highest paid center in the NFL, but that won't last long because Matt Paradis is a free agent as well, I believe, and he will probably be the newest and highest paid center here very soon. Listen, the Chiefs can't afford to pay a guy with that much money to play center or anybody on the offensive line that much money. They can't. Now, that leads me to other things. Dee Ford, there's interest from, reportedly there's interest from the Packers. Now the Packers are interested in Justin Houston, who the Chiefs just released, which I'm saying, great. You want Houston to go to the other conference. You don't want an AFC. You don't want him with the Patriots or the Broncos or the Raiders or the Chargers. So that's okay if he goes to the NFC and goes to the Packers. The Chiefs signed Carlos Hyde to a one-year deal over the weekend. As soon as free agency was allowed to do that, he, I think, is a nice pickup. I think he's an improvement over Spencer Ware and Tre'Kendrick West. He's a guy that's big, about 225, but he also is a really good pass catcher out of the backfield. Can you imagine Mahomes leading him down the field and he just run over people? Carlos Hyde is a very good player. He was at Ohio State University. He had five receiving touchdowns before the Browns traded him to the Jaguars last year, and then he was third on the depth chart in Jacksonville, which is weird because then why did Jacksonville trade for him?
Yeah.
But the Chiefs signed him to a one-year deal, and they don't spend a ton of money in the process, so there's not a lot of risk with what the Chiefs are doing here. And I think he'll be a good addition and is an improvement. And who knows, he might end up being a feature back, because Damian Williams hasn't had a history of being the feature back. Chiefs signed him to a two-year, $8 million extension with the loss of Kareem Hunt when they released him after all his troubles off the field. So I like the signing of Hyde. Losing Morse, I think the Chiefs saw that coming. That's why they signed Austin Ryder to a deal, who was the fill-in center last year. But the move I really like is what is coming out yesterday, and that is that the Chiefs are going to sign Tyrann Mathieu, a safety from the Texans who had a really good year for Houston. $42 million contract over 3 years. So many reasons why I like this move, Dusty. See if you agree. One, it's only a three-year deal. Mm-hmm. Landon Collins was 6 years, $84 million with the Redskins. Many people speculated that he would go to the Chiefs and be reunited with his defensive coordinator from New York, which is Steve Spagnuolo. That didn't happen. They get Mathieu, who's younger, I believe, than Landon Collins. He 3 years, $42 million, so it's half the deal that Landon Collins got. I like it. He said, it's not about the money, it's about a title on Twitter. And let me tell you something. If Patrick Mahomes isn't the quarterback of the Chiefs, and Alex Smith is, Tyrann Mathieu is not a Chief. He wants to win a Super Bowl. He knows Mahomes has got a great chance to do that with whoever is around him. And this then poses the question, what about Eric Berry? According to an article from arrowheadpride.com, they suspect that the Chiefs will keep Eric Berry because there is still a significant cap hit if they do cut Eric Berry, and hoping for the best. And they do like the fact that he is a leader, of course, mostly off the field the last few years. So if that's the case, then they probably won't make a move on another safety unless they draft one. I love the move for the Chiefs with Mathieu, and here's the thing that Mathieu does. One, he's only 26. Two, it's a three-year deal, so you're not, you know, locked in for a long time. Three, he provides you tons of flexibility. He can play the slot corner. He can play free safety, strong safety. He can play all. He can play in the box, out of the box. He can play anywhere defensively in the secondary for you. So I love that. Mm. He, and also, the Texans were not, they really wanted to keep Tyrann Mathieu. He was on a one-year deal for $7 million. Mathieu took a chance on just doing a one-year deal. It paid off big time, obviously. And he is considered a leader in the locker room and really, really helped the Texans have the defense they had a year ago. There are many players were talking, as they knew he was going to be a free agent, that they really wanted him back, that he made a huge difference with some of the other players and younger players. And the Chiefs, according to many reports, this was their number one target immediately when free agency opened. They weren't interested in Landon Collins as much. They wanted Tyrann Mathieu, and they got him for 3 years, $42 million, because of the things he does in the locker room, on the practice field, and then his flexibility in the secondary. And plus, he's a talented player on top of that, and he's only 26. Everything seems to be great with this move.
Yeah, I like the 26 part of it for sure, and you think that he's got some good years left in him, and that's the most important thing right now for the Chiefs is if they're going to offer money, they can't do it long-term and handicap themselves like they have with a couple of these deals here, Justin Houston and Eric Berry, to be exact. I think that's what I like the most about it. I mean, you talked about everything you like about him as a player, and I love all that too, but yeah, not putting yourself in a tough situation as the future rolls through is always important for me when you're looking down the road too and trying to keep and sustain success. Those things are important, I think.
All right,
not baseball. There's salary cap.
Tomorrow on the show, we're going to talk about Tyreek Hill. Is he worth getting a big deal? The Chiefs' big deals in the past have blown up in their face. Should the Chiefs just franchise tag him when they can after next season? We'll talk about it tomorrow on the Sports Ticket.